Welcome to the Milestone Mama Podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Hollis, wife, fellow mom, and former fitness instructor turned photographer, educator, and birth doula. When I became a mom for the first time, it completely changed my life in all of the best, most beautiful ways. But I also quickly learned just how overwhelming and challenging those days could be too. I found so much healing in community, and that's why this podcast was born. Tune in each week as we uncover all of the nuances of being a mom, from pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and everything in between. If you're ready to connect, to learn, to grow, to feel inspired, seen, and heard, you've come to the right place. And I'm so glad you're here. Let's go ahead and get this thing started. Hello, welcome back to Milestone Mama. I'm so excited that you're here today. This is going to be another quickie little episode going over all of the things that happen in the body during labor. This is a topic that I see come up quite a bit in like the pregnancy world, where I see lots of mamas get overwhelmed and frustrated with their progression prior to going into labor. And I think a lot of moms aren't necessarily aware of all of the other things at play that is happening within the body during and before going into labor. It's not just dilation. That number can be one indication of how the body is progressing, but it is definitely not everything. And this is something that I had kind of wished I knew more about before my first labor, because I was somebody who got a little discouraged over my what I thought was lack of progression due to my dilation. But I'm here to tell you that it is not the end all be all. And I want to give you a little bit of insight and info on everything that happens to the cervix and to the body as it prepares for and goes through the labor and delivery process. So before we really dig into this topic, though, something that I just want to quickly bring up is the topic of cervical exams prior to going into labor. So when you hit around 37 weeks, or what they would consider quote unquote full term, your doctor or your midwife might start offering you cervical exams at your weekly appointments to kind of see what's going on there. And while it is completely up to you whether or not you'd like to consent to those exams, just know that they are not any indication of when labor is going to start. I've known women who were completely closed and went into labor the next day or even that night. And then I know other women who have been dilated at a 3 or a 4 for several weeks. So not only are they not the most comfortable procedure to sit through, they can also increase the risk of infection anytime we're, you know, inserting anything up the vaginal canal. And it might just kind of be mentally exhausting to have that information and not necessarily see anything coming from it. So all that said, if you are curious, it is completely up to you on whether or not you'd like to see what's going on within the cervix. But I just think it's good to know that there's not really any need for them, unless you might be talking about a medically indicated or an elective induction. It would be good to have that information prior to going into the induction, because that's going to determine where the induction is going to begin in terms of which methods they would use to prepare your cervix for labor. It is just good to know, though, that cervical exams do come with some risk. So again, if you're curious to know, totally up to you to have that information. But something that could be a possibility is something like a membrane sweep done accidentally within a cervical exam. And that is when your doctor or your provider would use their fingers to loosen your amniotic sac from the uterine wall. And sometimes this is used as an induction method toward the end of pregnancy, but membrane sweeps can bring with it risks of accidentally breaking waters. It can risk going into some false or prodromal labor, which means you might start having some uncomfortable contractions that don't necessarily send you into early or active labor. So those are all just some things to consider before consenting to cervical exams. I see a lot of women, especially on social media, get frustrated or hung up on the fact that they haven't progressed at all or dilated at all when they're going to these early appointments. And I get sad for them because I know that how frustrating and mentally exhausting the final weeks of pregnancy can be. And to sometimes think that your body is not doing what it should be doing or not progressing, or maybe you know you're several centimeters dilated and nothing's happening yet. That part can just kind of add to that mental exhaustion. So sometimes ignorance could be bliss in this scenario. All right, so let's move on to the first topic here. Okay, so when we are talking about all of the things that are happening within the body as it prepares for and goes through labor, one of the things that's going to change is the direction of your cervix. So what I mean by that is, in its natural state, the cervix is pretty much pointed towards our backs. And as the body prepares for labor, it's going to begin to move forward to allow baby to come down and out of the pelvis. So you might hear your doctor refer to your cervix as being posterior, meaning facing the back, or anterior, facing the front. If you're doing a cervical exam or attempting a membrane sweep or something like that, prior to going into labor and your doctor says something like your cervix is still posterior and they're not able to reach it to do a sweep or something like that, that's what they're referring to. So again, that cervix is going to change from pointing towards your back, and it's going to slowly make its way forward to allow for baby to make his or her way out. So next we have dilation, which is probably the number that you're going to hear about most often. And that is the degree to which your cervix is going to open. So it'll go from completely closed to around 10 centimeters dilated. Active labor is considered from around 6 centimeters and beyond. It's also been known as 4 centimeters and beyond in the past, and that kind of recently changed to 6. However, I personally think that it can kind of be relative, because I was someone who personally was in some pretty strong labor for a while and was only at around a 3. The rest of my body had progressed a lot. And so it can be discouraging to think that being in quote-unquote active labor is only from a certain number and beyond, if the sensations that you're feeling feel a lot more intense than early labor. So I think, you know, we can kind of take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. However, what's known as transition, or what is most likely going to be the most intense part of labor, is when you're going from 7 centimeters to 10 centimeters. And most of the time, this is going to be the quickest part of labor. Although moms I have seen stall out at 7, 8, 9, etc. But more likely than not, that last couple, 2 to 3 centimeters of dilation happen the quickest, which, thank goodness, because it is also the most intense. Especially if you are planning on laboring unmedicated or without an epidural, this is probably going to be that point in labor where you feel like you cannot do it anymore, you would like to leave, you are done, you're tabbing out. You're most likely in transition. This can come with vomiting. It can come with some shakiness, very overwhelming, intense contractions that start to kind of stack on top of one another. And just know you're getting so, so close once you hit this point. As we're talking through this now, I'm having a contraction with my baby as I'm recording this. I'm not in labor or anything that I know of, but I've just been having quite a few contractions these days. I'm a little over 38 weeks pregnant, so if I sound a little out of breath, that's why. But nonetheless, let's move on. Let's talk about effacement. So This is the softening or the thinning out of the cervix. You're going to hear this referred to by your providers as a percentage. So your cervix is going to go from being really super thick and sturdy to protect everything in your uterus to paper thin, like almost non-existent. So if you're curious what this looks like, I highly recommend Googling a visual so you can kind of picture what's happening here. But this effacement, this thinning out and ripening of the cervix, this needs to happen in order for dilation to happen with it. So the relationship between dilation and effacement is not always linear, you know, like as dilation goes up, effacement does, or vice versa. But these things will continuously work together in order to ultimately get to the place of the cervix being completely thinned out and you getting to completely dilated at 10 centimeters. Next, let's talk about baby's station. So this is where baby's head is in relation to your pelvis. And you're going to hear this number referred to as a number -3, -2, -1, 0, +1, +2, +3. So negative numbers mean that baby is still pretty high up in the pelvis. And then once baby's head reaches what's called the ischial spine, it's kind of these little like bony extensions at the bottom of the opening of your pelvis. Again, you can look this up on Google for a good visual reference. That's going to be considered station zero. And then as the baby's head reaches more positive numbers, you'll be approaching pushing. So +1, your baby's head has passed that ischial spine. And +2 and +3 is like baby's about to be crowning. So with that said, you might choose to do what's called labor down if you get to 10 centimeters dilated, also known as complete, but baby station is still high in the pelvis. So just because you're fully dilated does not necessarily mean you have to begin pushing, especially if everything's looking good, you're handling labor well, baby's handling labor well. So you can kind of save yourself from doing a lot of the active physical exertion until baby has made their way lower in the birth canal. And all you need to do in that sense is continue laboring, breathing through contractions, going into different positions. Especially if you have an epidural, this is something really good to ask your providers about. A lot of them will do this anyway with you, but asking to labor down can save you lots of pushing time when you're just allowing your uterus to keep squeezing baby down and doing that work for you rather than you needing to put in a lot of that more physical effort. A lot of times when moms end up pushing for hours on end, some of it can be due to the baby being malpositioned, but other times it can be just because they're a little too high in the pelvis and it's just going to take longer for the body to push baby all the way down. So as you labor down, your nurse or your partner or your doula should continue to help you move around into different positions and help baby make his or her way down before actively pushing. So let's just touch on cervical exams during labor now. So just like before labor, cervical exams during labor are also optional for you. So you can always consent or not consent to them, and it's just good to know that especially once your waters have been broken, anytime we're doing a vaginal exam, that can increase the risk of infection there. So if you would like to know where you're progressing, absolutely, you can have that cervical exam during labor. But most of the time, especially if you are laboring without an epidural, you will be able to see if your body is progressing, if your contractions are getting more intense, if they are becoming more frequent, and that's pretty much all the information you need to know that labor is progressing. Because like I've said, dilation does not always mean everything, and it's not a linear path for every single pregnant woman going through labor. You can go from a 3 to a 9 in 5 hours. You could go from a 2 to a 10 in 1 hour. You just really never know. Anything can happen. But it's just good to know about all of these different numbers and all of the things at play happening in the body during your labor so that if you do get those cervical exams, you don't get too discouraged and you have the information that you need to know your body's doing more than just dilating. Your cervix has moved. Your cervix is thinning out and ripening. Baby's head is starting to progress down into the pelvis. And you might be dilating. So I just wanted you to have all of this information so that when you go into your labor and delivery, you feel well equipped, you know what questions to ask, and hopefully you can just feel more encouraged about your body doing what it needs to do to welcome your baby into this world. I hope this was helpful. Again, always here for you if you have any questions. Feel free to DM me on Instagram. Highly recommend Googling all of these things to get a better visual picture in your head of what all of this is looking like. And I am so grateful for you tuning into today's episode. As always, if you wouldn't mind leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, letting us know what you think, and or taking a screenshot and sharing this episode on Instagram would mean the world so that we can spread more of this community to all the women who could use it. Thank you so much for being here, and we will chat next week. Bye.